Hello, everyone. For those of you who don't know, I'm Mike, and this is my wife, Sarah. And we just wanted to let you guys know about the local Weekend Remember that's coming to our area. It's coming here to the Renaissance Resort at World Golf Village, and it's going to be March 13th through the 15th. We have a group rate available, and also there are there's a discounted hotel rate available as well. And I'll pass it over to Sarah.
This is a really awesome getaway. We've been 5 times, I think, ourselves. We love it. We aren't perfect, so we keep going back for more. If you have any questions, please come see us and ask us. There's these flyers or pamphlets in the Resource Center, Resource Table. We put a label on the back with all the information. If you want to register and take advantage of the discounted rate, you'll need our group code, which is on here. That doesn't include the hotel, just so you know. Also, since we have a lot of military in Jacksonville, this session, our weekend, will have special military breakout sessions. There's information about that in here, if you're interested. Frequently asked questions, all kinds of good stuff. Our email address and phone number is on the label as well if you have any questions. Oh, and also, if you're really interested in coming but money is really tight, we do have 2 scholarships that we can offer to 2 couples. So that would be 4 people total, but 2 couples. So please come see us if you're interested in that as well. Thanks.
Good morning. A little break in routine there. All right, welcome to Journey Church. My name is Leonard Small. Inside of your church bulletin, there is this little white slip of paper. If you can go ahead and pull that out if you're a first-time visitor here, or if you have any prayer requests, we'd like for you to just fill it out for us to just keep track of you and pray for you and all the things you have going on. Me putting my plug in for that right there. Me and my wife went to the one that was here, I think, 1.5, 2 years ago. Then we went to the Weekend to Remember, and let me tell you, that is, you hate to find out after you do something that you've been doing it wrong the whole time. Don't you hate that feeling? That's the way I felt. I was like, man, I've been doing this wrong the whole time. So you may feel like you're going to just wing it, wing marriage, and just try to white knuckle your way through it, but there is something to be said about, experience is not the best teacher, okay? All right, glean from somebody else's advice, amen? I'm going to go ahead and call the ushers up front. We're going to go ahead and get ready to receive our offering. Also, keep getting compliments on my fancy church clothes I got on today. I'm a Trek fan, so y'all pray for me. But, it's like, people just don't have, imaginations. I grew up an atheist. I grew up hating God. So, for me, the logic behind science was just, it was just like, it made sense. But then God opened my eyes, and he showed me that no matter how many times you blow up something, you'll never get order from chaos. Never. I mean, you can. In order for something to blow up, you need fuel and you need a spark. You still need some kind of intelligence, something to get things going. So, just a little tidbit for you those of you out there struggling with evolution over creation. All right, amen. All right, let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this offering we're about to receive. We thank you for just giving us this hope that is only found in you, that you are the creator of the universe. And though we enjoy things like Star Trek, they really, tickles our imagination. Let us put our hope and trust in you, Lord God, that you are a God who creates things out of nothing. And sometimes I feel like nothing, but yet you continue to make me into the image of your son. We pray for these finances, for the building of your kingdom. Give us wisdom. And we can pray that you continue to walk with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So open up your bulletin. A couple things we want to highlight for you real quick. First thing will be the Men's Fellowship Barbecue is on the 17th. So if you haven't signed up for that, men, meet. Fire. Right? So Men's Fellowship with, Barbecue, February 17th at 6:30. That's this Tuesday, all right? Wives, remind them. We also have our night of worship on February 20th at 7 p.m. And also, the work will continue at the new building every Wednesday night. If you have some free time, come on out and help. And our new service time, 9 o'clock, starting March 1st. Thank you.
All right. Leonard, I don't know about Star Trek, but that Michael Jackson / members only jacket. That's tight right there. That's tight. Come on. Oh. Awesome. Good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. My name is Vic. If you're visiting with us, just want to welcome you. It's our hope that as we gather together as the church, we continue to grow in our relationship with God, loving Him more and more, and learning to love one another, love the people around us. I want to encourage guys, come out on Tuesday night to the barbecue. I was talking to Bill on the way in, but pulled pork, ribs, all cooked right out here. It's going to be a good time of fellowship, so don't miss that. Sign up on your way out so we know how much food to get. And it's going to be great. So we are in a series called Living on Mission. And we've been talking about what it means to live on this mission with Jesus. Last week we looked at Matthew 28, a passage that we just looked at it briefly, but it's known as the Great Commission. It's when Jesus tells His disciples, His followers, the ones that He has been with the whole time, in His earthly ministry, He tells them to go and make disciples of all nations. Okay? Now, when He says that, you know, we talked about last week, what does it mean to them? What runs through their mind as opposed to, you know, what maybe we've been taught in church? We want to understand the context of what's going on there. And so they lived with Him. They walked with Him. They saw Him work miracles. They saw how He taught, how He loved people, how He confronted the religious leaders. And so when He says, go and make disciples, that Greek word means literally pupils or students, okay? Go into all the world and make disciples. Now, who are they to make disciples of? Who is it? Jesus, right? Okay, now I know this sounds like, you know, second grade, right? But the reality is, I've sat in a lot of discipleship classes where a lot of theology was taught and rules of things you do and don't do, and sometimes hear very little about Jesus. See, they're supposed to go and make disciples, followers, students, apprentices of Jesus. And so they knew what that meant because they lived with Him. They walked with Him. And so they're supposed to go and do that and show the same kind of love that He has shown. They go, now, He goes, now go and do that with other people. It's not sit down in a class and teach. And not that there's anything wrong with that, because teaching was certainly part of the discipleship process. But we can never forget that it's about Jesus, okay? We're not making disciples of ourselves. Don't make a disciple of your own theological convictions, or we're certainly not making disciples of Journey Church. It's about Jesus. And He says, now go, make disciples of all nations, all people who you come in contact with. Share the love that you've come to know, the good news, share it with people. And so, as they followed Him, we talked about a little bit last week about how people in that day would follow a rabbi. Okay, and so they would listen to what He taught. They would watch how He interacted with people. They would study not only the way He taught, but the way He lived. That's what students did. That's what disciples did with their rabbis. And so they see Jesus interact in just powerful ways, showing love to people. And as they watched this, there was a thing about rabbis and their followers. The rabbis would teach and they would expound on the Torah, okay, the Old Testament scriptures. And as they taught, certain nuances of that, explaining the meaning and you know, the theological implications, certain rabbis would teach a certain way and students would listen. And as the rabbi taught that way, the way he taught and what he showed them as to how to live this out was known as his yoke. Okay, so the students would, what they would call, take on the yoke of the rabbi. Okay, they would enter into his way of teaching, and communities would kind of gather around that. All right, so if you've been a follower of Jesus for any amount of time, this might bring up a passage to your mind, or you might recall a passage where Jesus talks about his yoke. Okay, so let me give you some context before we read this passage out of Matthew 11. Jesus, John the Baptist, has been put in prison. Jesus has confronted the religious leaders. He even goes as far as to say, you know, if the miracles that I've done in your cities were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. You guys haven't. It's going to be better on the day of judgment for Sodom than it is for you. And he says, you know, they say John the Baptist, he didn't come eating or drinking, but they said he had a demon. The Son of Man comes eating and drinking. They say he's a glutton and a drunkard. And so they've rejected Jesus and his teaching. And so now, you know, this is kind of the context or the background as he makes this statement. Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Okay, so after rebuking the religious leaders who refused to believe John and to believe Jesus, Jesus thanks the Father, and he thanks the Father that he didn't reveal these things to those who think they're clever and wise, but to those who are childlike. And that should just remind us of the simplicity of the gospel. I mean, the gospel message is so simple. John 3:16, if you could just remember that, God loved the world so much that he gave his Son, that whoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. It's so simple, but it's yet very profound. Theologian Charles Hodge said this, the gospel is so simple that small children can understand it, and it's so profound that studies by the wisest theologians will never exhaust its riches. See, we'll spend a lifetime understanding God's love for us, the depth of that. But it's yet so simple. And so Jesus goes, all right, now come to me. He gives this invitation. And who does he give the invitation to? Okay? Come to me. And who's the invitation to? All who are what? Weary. Heavy burdened. And what does he promise to give them? Rest. Okay? So come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you. Let me teach you. Okay? He says, I'm humble, I'm gentle at heart. Let me teach you. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. It's like Jesus, he's saying, you know, you guys have taken this yoke on you that's heavy and it's burdensome, and you've been burdened by the law, and you're taught all these rules and regulations, and you have to live by them in order to please God and be accepted by God. And he says, listen, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. It's different, okay? I will give you rest for your soul. Now, when I hear that, I'm like, man, sign me up for that, right? I mean, that sounds good. That sounds like good news to me. And here's the question I have for all of us. Did Jesus mean what he said? You know, come to me if you're weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Was he serious? Did he really mean that? Was he just kind of giving an easy message to kind of, you know, increase his followers, maybe get a little bit, you know, bigger church? And then people go, yeah, I'm in on that whole easy, you know, light burden, give me rest, I'm into that. And then Jesus goes and pulls a little bait and switch on him. Like, okay, that's great, but now do this, do this, do this, do this, or I'm going to send you to hell. I mean, is that Jesus' message? Or is it really, come to me all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest? Because if we're to be honest, I would guess there's some of us in this room who have come in burdened with the weight of religion, feeling like I just don't measure up. And the reality is, you don't, and I don't, but thank God, Jesus, who did, followed the law to perfection, gave his life as a sacrifice, because you couldn't do it, and I couldn't do it. And when he hung on the cross, what were some of his last words? It is finished. Tetelestai, it is finished. It's complete. We have to trust in that completion. We have to trust in that. And when we do, and then even in all my brokenness and my faults and my failings, I look to him and go, yeah, God, I don't deserve this relationship with you. I don't deserve to be called a son. I don't deserve to be called a daughter. But because of what Jesus has done and my faith and trust is in him, he calls us sons and daughters. We're adopted into the family of God. But it's real easy for Christianity to become burdensome. It's really easy to take on the burden and weight of religion. Because the reality is, in the world we live in, everything we do is based on results and works. Everything. I mean, think about it. Man, kids, obeying your parents. Or what? Spare the rod, spoil the child, right? Some of you, okay, time out, whatever. But, I mean, there's consequences, right? There's consequences. You go to school. You do your work. And for the most part, you get graded on, at least you did when I went to school. I don't know if they do that or not anymore. It seems like everything's like, everyone gets a trophy, everyone gets an A or B, you know. I'm not sure how that works. I don't think it does, but they're trying it anyhow. But the reality is, everything is based on how well we do. Your job, the results that you have. And so it's so easy to slip back into this. This idea of, I have to do, you know, any number of list of things to please God, or else I'm no longer in his good graces. Listen, he loves you as a loving father, the way you love your children if you have them. Perfect love. And that perfect love should cast out all fear, and our relationship with him should be one of peace and rest. Now, it doesn't mean, now Jesus didn't say, there's not going to be any work for you to do. He didn't say, come to me and everything's going to be easy. He said, I'll give you rest for your soul. Okay? So as you go out and make disciples, it shouldn't be this burdensome thing. I know for some of you, probably when you say, hey, we want to be a people who live on mission. The church is the family of God living on mission. And for some of you, when we say that, we go, man, I mean, they want me out knocking on doors. What does that mean? You know, do you think that's some kind of religious thing that is put on you? It's not. It's the message of Jesus. Go and make disciples. Live the way that I live. Put your faith and trust in me. Live the way that I live. Show the love to the world around you. And as you do that, you make disciples of Jesus along the way. A couple weeks ago, we had a moment at the end of our service where we did what we called a reverse offering. And so if you were here, you experienced that. We had baskets full of $20 bills, and we challenged you to pray and prayerfully take one of those $20 bills and ask God, God, who would you have me give this to be a blessing? To tell them, God loves you and you're not forgotten. Okay? And so we empowered people to go and do something with that. Now, I'm just wondering if for anybody who did that and experienced that, if that was a religious burden for you. Or if that was something that, you know, you had an opportunity to be a blessing to someone, and it was something that was actually freeing. And, you know, we've talked about having some people share about that, and so totally unscripted. I haven't talked to anyone, and so you may hear crickets here in just a minute. But I would like a couple people to just share, maybe, what that experience did for you. Maybe just the wrestling of praying and seeking God and listening, and who you would give that to, or who you did give that to, and how God used it, maybe in your life or someone else's. And so, Leonard, if you give me that microphone. So if anybody would like to share just a brief, okay, 2-3 minutes of what that meant for you and how God used it in your life, love to hear from you on that. Come on up and introduce yourself to the family at Journey and share with...
Good morning. My name is Damon Darden. I'm a lovely wife, Marilyn Darden, the hugger.
the hugger.
It was very humbling when I received that $20. And it's kind of like, first off, it's the first time I ever witnessed. I consider it to be a miracle because I never experienced it. I've been in church all my life, and they were always asking for more, more, more. They take. And this was the first time I ever experienced when it was given back. And it was a very humbling experience for me. So I prayed about whom I should give this to. And at first it was a burden because I just wanted to make sure I get this $20 out as fast as I possibly could. to be honest about it. But as God put in my heart to, He says, "No, Damon, I will lead you to that person who needs that." So all week long, I just went, didn't give it away, didn't give it to somebody. Just God didn't lead me to that person yet. And my wife said, "What about that person over there? What about that person over there?" I said, No. So I had to go downtown to the VA. And as I came back around the VA, and I remember I drove past Trinity Mission, and I saw some older guys out there. My wife said, "What about those guys there?" I said, "Okay." So I started to drive around, but really, be honest with you, it wasn't in my heart to bless those gentlemen with the 20. And I kind of came around the corner. I was going to turn back around with attention and going back to those guys there. And I saw this another few people sitting on the sidewalk, like they slept out there that night. And I saw this young man. And right away, I pulled right over to him because, like God said, that's him right there. Just go ahead and bless him that particular moment. And I pulled up. He wasn't looking for anything. He was sitting on a sleeping bag out there on the sidewalk. And I just motioned him over kind of like this. He got up. He came over. And I handed him the 20, rolled the window down, handed him the 20. I said, "This is a blessing from God." And he looked at me and said, "Thank you." And I said to him, "No, thank you." Because really, it probably blessed him, but $20 really, how much can you give with $20? Maybe a couple of meals. But the blessing I received was probably far greater than the $20 that he received. And it's a blessing that is still coming. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? It's still coming to me. And I thank God for that opportunity.
That's awesome. Thanks, Damon. Thanks for sharing. Sure. Yeah. All right. Yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah. You know, I tell you, I've always let things come to me. And my friend and I were in a violin music store buying some sheet music for her son. And I noticed there was a woman there with her daughter who had a small violin in her hand. And I saw them, she wanted to trade the violin in, and they would only give her $70. She wanted to get a cello for the young girl, beautiful young girl. And they wanted $400 for the cello. And I could tell the woman was coming up short. And so then I observed all this, and then I went outside in a sidewalk, and I said, "Listen, what will it take to make this work? Would it be like 60, 80, 100? And she says, "80. I happen to have 60 on me. My friend had 20. We're on the sidewalk now. We took the 80 and gave it to her. And I'm telling you something, it was transitional. She hugged my friend for like a minute and then hugged her again right on the sidewalk. And then as we were pulling, first of all, we gave her the money. And then as we were pulling away, I looked back and there was the mother and the daughter hugging each other in public on the sidewalk with tears in both of their eyes. It was unbelievable. And then as then we pulled out to go away, I looked back and there they were, the mother and the daughter, entering back into the music store. Mm. And I'm telling you something, it's just like, see, I knew something would come to me rather than look, "Oh, here. I said, "It'll come to me." And it came, and I guarantee you I changed that little 12-year-old's life because she now has a cello, and who knows where her talents will
will take her. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for sharing.
You know, just one more thing on a personal note. I lost my wife after 52 years of marriage a year and a half ago to cancer. It all happened in 4 weeks. We'd moved to a beautiful farm in Kentucky, and we got there, and she was diagnosed 2 weeks later and died 2 weeks after that. Mm. And it's been a struggle for me, but I have a friend now who's whatever,
I don't want to confuse the issue.
But by that I mean the Lord works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're down and out and have nothing to live for, they'll bring someone in your life to sort of help you and guide you and get you through. Hmm. And so I just share it because I need to talk to somebody.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks. One or two more.
Yeah, figures I'd have to follow that. My name is Arnold. My fiance is Hannah. And we missed that day. We weren't here. I had to work. Blessing in itself, because I've been hard-pressed to find a job for a while. Found a great one. But he wanted to work on Sunday, and we missed that. And we were broke. Mm. And we went to the store, and it sounds bad, but I smoked. So if you've ever went without cigarettes for a while, you know what I mean. So I had about $4, and I bought a pack of cigarettes. And coming out, and keep in mind, I missed all this. I look in the ATM that you walk past on the way to the parking lot, and there was a $20 bill right there. And I'm thinking, I look around. And the odd part was, the racetracks crowded all the time. People coming and going. There was no cars getting gas, nobody in the parking lot. I was all alone. So I grabbed the $20. And the blessing was to me. Because we needed gas. I mean, it was just awesome. And let me also tell you that church is the last place that I would have been until I heard about this and we came one time. Hmm. I got it. I wasn't even here for it. It was just woke me up a little.
Awesome. Thanks, Simon. Thank you, Tim. All right, one more, and if there's a lady that wants to share. Oh, come on up.
My name's Kim Johnson, and I've never experienced a reverse offering either. And when Vic got up here and was sharing about that, I just immediately, three people came to my head. I went to work. Two of them were at my work, and one was in my neighborhood. I went to work Monday, and I just was praying about it, and I kept coming back to this one temporary lady that works for us. She's worked at our company for about a year. And about 5 or 6 months ago, I kept seeing that she was absent. Come to find out, her daughter, who lives in New Orleans, who has, I think, three small children, had been stabbed about 40 times from either her estranged husband or her ex-husband, I'm not sure. So she always looks very heavy, very strained on her face. So I immediately thought, that's what I need to do. So on Tuesday, I wrote her a little card, and I just put, God loves you, and I put Romans 8:28 on there. And I said, God loves you, and he knows your heart. And I more than doubled the amount, and I stuck it on her desk. She doesn't know who it came from. And then next thing I know, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, she was no longer at work. And so I asked her manager, and she said, oh, she was able to go to New Orleans. So I'd like to think that that was part of the reason why, but she doesn't know who gave it to her, but I think it was more of a blessing to me than her that she was able to go see her daughter yet again. So.
Oh, that's awesome. So you hear those stories, and it doesn't sound like that was a burden to the people who went out and did that. And hopefully, you know, you experienced that, those of you who are here, and, you know, just a blessing in giving, and, of course, a blessing for those who received. Now, had I said, okay, listen, here's the challenge for everybody at Journey. I want you to go take $50 for your hard-earned money, pray, find someone to give it to, and want everyone to come back with a report next Sunday. Okay, that would have felt a little different, wouldn't it? It would have been maybe a little weighty, a little burdensome, like, okay. You know, it's kind of like the old school, okay, go. You know, I want you to go knock on 20 doors and tell people about Jesus, you know, and you come back and, you know, you got to give a report. And I don't think people still do that today, except for maybe the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. But that was kind of a thing, you know. And this weight of religion that gets put on us sometimes. When we talk about living on mission with Jesus, to make disciples of Jesus, it's not this religious thing that we want to throw on people. It doesn't mean that you need to add a bunch of things to your calendar. That's one of the things I hope you find out in doing something like that. You know, it really wasn't about you going and doing something specific. It was you communicating with God and saying, God, who would you have me bless? Who around me? Open my eyes to that. See, and so living on mission, while some people, as they do that, God gives them a specific call somewhere to do something specific. For most of us, it's just being aware of what's already happening around us. That God is with us and there's people around us in need who we can show the love of Jesus to. So it's not about adding so many more things to your calendar. It's about looking at your calendar differently. It's about leveraging your calendar to the glory of God. So, man, I'm at the soccer field with my kids on this day, this. I'm so busy. Listen, you've been entrusted and I've been entrusted with a gift, and that gift is our lives. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. The fact that we have the capacity to do whatever we do, to earn money, to make a living, is a gift from God. So we have to steward that gift. So if you're at the soccer field with your children, enjoy that time and do that, but realize there are divine moments all around you. There's opportunities to be a blessing to people all around you. I'm not talking about necessarily giving them anything other than the love of Jesus. Because we've all been in those places and you see people and you can, like somebody said, you can see the weight on them. You can see the burden on them. You can see what's going on. And sometimes it's just a matter of saying, all right, God, help me step out of my comfort zone and go over to that person and say, are you okay? Can I pray for you? I mean, now that may be tough for us, but if you're in that communication with God and you feel God leading you, you never know what's on the other end of that blessing. You never know what's going to come out of that person's mouth. You never know where they've been, and you never know how God might use you to bring healing, rest, peace, restoration to that person. So Jesus goes, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, okay? Let me teach you. You've been taught all these other things. Let me teach you. Well, let me give you a little bit of the context of what these people were dealing with. Matthew 23:1-7 tells a little bit, gives a little insight to what they were experiencing at the time. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example. For they don't practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra-wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear robes with extra-long tassels, and they love to sit at the head of the table at banquets and the seats of honor in the synagogues. They love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi. So they crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to help. This was the yoke that those people were carrying. This was the teaching that they were under. They love to be honored, but do very little to serve. So Jesus invites them, hey, come to me. My burden is light. Come and get rest for your souls. You can imagine how they would feel, how they would just run to that teaching. And he goes, these guys, it's all about them. They want to sit at the place of honor. They want to be called rabbi. The Son of Man didn't come to be served. He came to serve. So Jesus' example is just so different. He's humble at heart. That's what that earlier passage said. And he showed that, and he lived that. And there's some interesting, this is a little side note here, some interesting instruction further on in this passage that just contextually I want to make sure we get. So he goes on, listen, This is the people Jesus is talking to and teaching. Don't let anyone call you rabbi, for you have only one teacher, and all of you are equal as brothers and sisters. And don't address anyone here on earth as father, for only God in heaven is your spiritual father. And don't let anyone call you teacher, for you only have one teacher, the Messiah. The greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Okay? So there's no hierarchy in the kingdom of God. And we need to make sure we get that. And some of you have been around long enough know that I don't particularly like the title pastor, like Pastor Vic. Okay, my birth certificate says Victor Kucha. Okay, there's no pastor before it. I know for some of you culturally that's just kind of the thing you do, and that's okay. I'm not going to get overly dogmatic about it. But there's a reason why Jesus says this. Don't let anyone call you rabbi, teacher, father. Okay? He didn't recreate a priestly system where pastors were at the top. Okay, look at verse 8. All of you are equal as brothers and sisters. That's kind of the thrust of this thing. We all have different gifts. We all have different roles in the church. As a pastor, my gifting and my role is to teach and to shepherd, but that doesn't put me up here. What it does when we start doing that, you know, pastor so-and-so, and, you know, it's okay. I'm not saying it's wrong to say that, but I will say this. The people who kind of hold that as a badge of honor, like, you know, show respect and call me whatever, I'd be careful. Because that's what Jesus is calling on the carpet here. These guys want to sit at the, you know, the best seats. They want to be lifted up. And he's like, I mean, this is Jesus. I mean, he washed the feet of the disciples. I mean, he was as humble as they come. And so what happens is when we basically make the pastor like the Old Testament priest, we create this clergy-laity division, like these lay people and clergy, that's not biblical. You guys have all heard those terms and you think it's right. You know, they're the ones who get paid, these ones don't, clergy-laity. No, he says, you know what, we're all equal. Ground is level at the foot of the cross. We have different giftings. And yeah, there are some people who get compensated for the work that they do within the church, but it's not something like this, okay? And so we need to make sure that we understand that. And the apostles, they got this, and they understood this, and they understood that Jesus' burden really was light because, man, they blew it numerous times. I mean, Peter, poor Peter, man. I mean, no one put their foot in their mouth more than Peter. No one. And even after he's like, I'll die for you. And Jesus goes, you're going to leave me today. You're going to abandon me. And he's like, no, I'll die for you. He goes, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And what happens? He does. And what does Jesus do? Does he kick him out? No. When he comes back, he goes, Peter, do you love me? He goes, I love you. He goes, all right, feed my sheep. He restores them. Love is there. It's just, I mean, when you read that, you go, man, that's the heart of Jesus. Religion says, man, you blow it, you're out. The gospel and the grace of God invites us into this relationship, and we should grow in that grace. So as we grow in that grace, we become more and more like Jesus. So I follow him. And yes, what's written in this book is written for my good. It's the best possible way for me to live. And I follow that out of love for him because he loved me enough to pay the price for my sins. Okay? And so I don't live under this like, oh man, if I don't obey this thing to the T, then God's going to cast me off. We're saved by grace through faith. But yet, this message of works and the law just tends to creep in. And so as we close, I'm going to share with you something that happened with Peter. And so Peter had another moment. So he has a moment where after Jesus is resurrected, the church is growing, people are coming to faith in Christ, and he has this moment where he gets sucked back into kind of religion. And so Paul writes, and when Paul writes this, he says, I had to rebuke him to his face because he started going back to his old traditions where he refused to sit down and eat with uncircumcised Gentiles. Now, what circumcision has to do with dinner guests, I don't know, but that was the deal. So he was like not eating with the uncircumcised Gentiles, and so Paul has to confront him. Now look at Galatians 2, 15 to 21. This is so rich and so important to what we're talking about. This is Paul talking to Peter. You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet, we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. All right, how is a person made right with God? By faith in Jesus Christ. Will anyone ever be made right by obeying the law? No. Okay? Verse 17, but suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of the law I already tore down. If I go back and try to earn my salvation because of that, it's like, then I become a sinner. I become under the law again. So I die, verse 19, for when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all of its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. According to Paul, the law is what condemned him. That's what the law does. It shows you you're a sinner, you're messed up, and we all fall short. But Jesus obeyed the law. He provided the perfect sacrifice for our sins, and by faith in Jesus, we can have a relationship with God the Father. That is the message, the gospel of grace. And so as I grow in that relationship, and Jesus broke it down to this, right? When they asked him, what's the most important commandment? What? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. All right, you want to live by a law? Live by that. I mean, just love God with everything you have and love the people around you. He said that sums up all the prophets, sums up everything in the book. Okay? Chase after that. And when we fall short, fall on the grace of God and the love that he has for us. And understand, we'll grow in that understanding and we'll grow in experiencing his love and showing that to other people till the day we go to be with him. Go and make disciples, followers of Jesus, who live like him, who are humble like him, who share his love with the world. What did Jesus do? He listened to the Father and he only did what the Father said to do. We need to be in touch with him. We need to listen. Not just when someone gives you a $20 bill and says, go and do this. Now what I'm telling you is, you've been given much more than a $20 bill. You've been given a life to steward. What are you going to do with it? It was cool to hear how some people added to that and met a need because they just felt led to do that. We had a situation, it was a few years ago, as you know, we were engaged in things in Guatemala and different places and sharing the love of Jesus with people who are in really desperate need. One of the families took a trip to Guatemala, and when they were there, their daughter, who was 12 years old, saw something at the Buena Vista Sports Academy for boys. These boys come during the day, and they get fed, they learn soccer, but they also learn what it means to live for Jesus, to be a man of God, and they don't see that in their, you know, everyday example. Well, when they were up there, they just saw how, you know, these boys outside of that time there don't get a healthy meal. And so one of the things they tried to do was in the morning they would give these boys a snack, and they would give them power bars, you know, so they would get some, you know, some of the nutrients and stuff that they would need. And so Brock and the guys at the BVSA, they were trying to get power bars donated so that they could give these to the guys. And so she came home, and God just put that burden on her heart, 12 years old. And she said, I want to try to raise awareness and get power bars for the boys in Guatemala. And so she just, you know, shared that with people, asked people to pray. in sharing that, someone here at Journey heard about that and said, well, this company I used to work for, we did some shipping for the company that owns power bars, and let me just send an email. And so sent an email about what she was doing and how she was wanting to help these kids in Guatemala. And lo and behold, the people from Power Bars were like, we're in. Next thing you know, it's like, hey Vic, there's a couple pallets of Power Bars that are going to show up at the church, and we've got to figure out what to do with them. And literally, I mean, they gave like over a year's supply of Power Bars for these kids in Guatemala. And I mean, it was just amazing, right? And so as we took trips, we would take them and bless the kids there. And now we actually, there's a feeding program. We actually give a couple $100 a month that goes to feed them a meal each day to these boys that are in the academy. But, you know, just being sensitive to seeing something, God putting a burden on your heart. This is a 12-year-old girl. You think about the impact that we can have if we just simply listen and obey. It's not some religious burden that someone put on her to do that. It was just a prompting and then taking a step of faith. A couple years ago, this is actually before that, I was at Starbucks with a group of guys from here, and we were doing a little small group, and we were sitting outside Starbucks on Southside. It's not there any longer, but we were sitting outside, and we were talking about the book of Acts, and we were talking about the church and how the church today sometimes doesn't look like the church we find in the scripture. And as me and these guys, Pete, there was a couple guys there, we're talking about this. There's a guy at a table. He looks like a homeless guy, and he's sitting there, and every once in a while he'd pipe in on our conversation. He'd go, amen, brother, you know, looking at, like, what's this, you know, and this guy, you know, and he would just kind of throw some amens in there. And so we finished up our meeting, and there was just something, you know, something inside me was like, I need to go talk to this guy, you know. So everybody left, and so I went up and just pulled up a chair, introduced myself, said, "Hey, I guess you were listening to our conversation, and so I just want to introduce myself." And he introduced himself. His name is Paul, and he takes his hat off, and he has this big scar over the top of his head. And he's bald, and he proceeds to tell me that he just had he had surgery for brain cancer, and the doctors have told him that they can't operate anymore. It's growing again. There's nothing they could do. And he said, you know, but recently, he said, he had a little Bible there. He's like, recently, I've come into a relationship with God. And he went on to tell me that his brother was a pastor. And he went to his brother's church long ago. And he said, that was the most judgmental place I've ever been. And I never went back after that. And he had some choice words for his brother, the pastor. And he said, but, and he told me the story about when he was driving a truck and he met this guy, and this guy shared about the Bible with him and challenged him to read a little bit of the Bible. Long story short, he found Jesus. And so he said, when you guys were talking about it, he said, I still have never been to church since then. And so, of course, you know, said, man, we'd love to have you. And he said, but I love Jesus. And it was just neat. It was such a blessing to me, you know, to just sit and hear his story. And so I used to blog back then. Now I'm kind of tired of writing, and I just don't anymore. I'm slack. But so I wrote this blog, you know, and just kind of told that story. Well, a couple years later, I get this email, and it's a bill from the shipping company. And I'm like, what is this? And it says we owe like $400 for some shipping or something. And I can't figure out what it is. And so the lady ends up calling the church phone, and I talk to her, and she says, yeah, you know, shipping on this, you know, it's two pallets of something. So I'm like, two pallets? What do we get 2 pounds? Oh, power bars. And so it was from like a year before. And so we said, all right, well, we'll clear that up. We had no idea that, you know, we had to pay the shipping on it. So we get that cleared up. After we get it cleared up, I get a phone call on my cell phone. And it's voicemail. Hey, my name is, I can't remember her name, Stephanie, whatever it was, from such and such shipping company. I talked to you this week. I wanted to talk to you about a personal situation or personal something. And I'm like, this is weird. So I call her back, right? So she's in New York, and so I call her back and say, this is Vic from Journey Church. She said, yeah, I've been wanting to talk to you. I wanted to wait till we got this whole invoice thing cleared up. But she said, as I was looking for your church, we had no contact information, so I was looking for the church. I was Googling it on, I was, you know, putting it into Google, looking for it, and found the website, and she said, your blog jumped out at me, and I read one of your blogs, and as I was reading your blog, there was this list, and it had all the titles of your blog, and one of the titles was a man named Paul, and she was like, oh, that's my dad's name. And so she reads this blog, and she goes, and she's talking to me, and she starts getting emotional. She said, the guy you met at Starbucks, that was my dad. And she said he died not long after you guys had that meeting. And she said, the reason I'm calling you, Levi, you guys can come back up. She said, the reason I'm calling you is because none of us in the family, really close, my mom, grandma, knew that side of the story. None of us knew that he had this relationship with Jesus. You know, there was a separation with him and his brother and all that stuff. And she said, I just want to thank you. She said, I want to thank you for taking the time, and I want to thank you for writing that. And you don't know what a blessing this is for our family now. She's like, my grandma's probably going to call you. You know, she's like, don't be surprised if you get cards and all this stuff. And I mean, folks, here's the deal. It wasn't anything. I didn't add anything to my calendar. It wasn't because I was the pastor. I was just sitting there with a group of guys and just felt like I should talk to this guy. And I took 15, 20 minutes of my time, talked to him. And the way that God used that, I mean, it's a blessing to me, first of all. But the way that God ended up using that and connecting the dots of this thing was just unbelievable. You just can't make up stories like that. And so I just say, the time that we have here on earth is important. Man, if you're carrying a heavy burden or heavy weight of religion, lay it at the feet of Jesus. Come into a relationship with Him. He invites you into a place of rest for your soul. And it's really a matter of then living that out daily. God, I'm here today. I know you're here today. Lead me today into what you have for me. And try to tune into that and listen. The Holy Spirit is here and is with us. And you never know what a little gift or a hug or a phone call will do for someone. If you stand, we'll just close with this song and let it be an invitation to all of us. Broken, whatever's going on in life, come to Him, experience His love, experience His freedom, and as we do, then look to share that with someone. Let's worship together. God, help us. God, help us as we live in this world that's based on results and how good we do, to really receive your love and your grace that comes freely to us, God. And you invite us into this relationship. It's not burdensome, but it does mean sacrificing our agenda to yours. So help us to do that, God, to be willing to surrender and surrender everything, but in that surrender to experience freedom and to walk in that and help other people experience it. Jesus' name.